The John J. Anthony Program comes to you now by transcription.
Is the sweetheart you married the husband you expected him to be? Has the war created new problems for you in your marriage? To answer these and other personal problems brought in by your friends and neighbors, Arid presents John J. Anthony, founder of the famed Marital Relations Institute, in a brand new program of daily sessions of kindly and helpful advice. Just as Mr. Anthony, by examples in this studio, is helping thousands of men and women solve their personal problems, Arid, too, is helping thousands to solve the important personal problem of underarm perspiration. Arid helps you avoid perspiration damage to clothes and safeguards friendships. Use Arid every day. It helps stop perspiration safely, and at the same time, Arid is a most effective deodorant. And now your friend and advisor, John J. Anthony, one of America's best-known counselors on human relations. By listening to Mr. Anthony's solution of the problems brought here by these people needing advice, perhaps you too can find happiness and contentment. It is with that thought in mind that these daily sessions were created. Mr. Anthony, are you ready for your first case?
Quite ready, George.
The first case is that of Miss C.A.
All right, Miss, your pop. Did you say Miss C.A., George?
C.A.
All right, thank you. Your problem, please. Come in.
About 2 years ago, I met and fell in love and...
Come in close, please.
I met, fell in love, and became deeply involved with a man who had been recently discharged from the Army. After much persuasion on my part, we were married, and we opened a home on my money.
Why did you have to persuade him? Didn't he want to get married?
He said he's in no position to marry.
When you say you became deeply involved, do I gather that to mean that it would have been exceedingly unwise for this man not to marry you?
Yes.
All right, go on, please.
For a while, things ran smoothly, and we got along very well with one another.
Uh-huh.
Up until the time I expected my baby, he asked me to live with my mother until the baby came.
He, too, lived with your mother?
No, he left.
Just you alone?
That's right. He lived at our apartment, and I went to live at my mother's.
He lived at your apartment, and you went to reside with your mother. Why?
He said that he was afraid to be left alone in the house with me if anything did happen.
Well, that's novel at any rate, but go on. Go ahead,
well,
please.
Well, after I gave birth to my baby, I moved near my mother because I was ill and needed her care.
Mm-hmm.
And then things were fine again. But then he came and told me that he had become deeply involved with another girl.
Ah, I see. That couldn't have been the reason that he might have wanted you to live with your mother while he remained at home.
I think it was the reason.
All right. Go on.
He asked me to move in with my mother, and I did move into my mother.
You told me that. Was this the second time that you returned to your mother? After you became involved with this other person?
That's right.
I see. All right.
And when I asked him if he wanted a divorce, he said no, that the girl didn't mean anything to him, that he did want to stay with me and the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Then after a while, he said that he moved in with me the second time to my mother.
I don't mean to be facetious at all, madam. Believe me. I'm not trying to be humorous. But this man used a marriage license to get married, didn't he? He didn't use a commutation ticket. I've heard thousands of these situations. This is the third or fourth time that you changed residence with and without your husband in a period of how long?
It was 2 years. It was the second time that I went to my mother with him.
Mm-hmm. All right, go on, please.
And he said that we moved in there against my advice. I knew that he couldn't live with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards he told me that he felt very depressed and very unhappy.
About what?
About living with my mother.
I see. All right.
And he went back to his mother's house to live, and he still didn't ask me for any divorce.
Uh-huh.
And then I did a foolish thing. I went to the girl and asked her if she meant anything to my husband and whether or not she wanted to marry him.
Mm-hmm.
That if she did, would she help me get my divorce?
I see.
And she told me that she wouldn't, and wouldn't help me because she felt it was none of her business, what my husband and I decided to do.
I see.
Then I spoke to her father. I thought he might be able to persuade her to see things my way.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he didn't care whether or not I dragged his daughter to court because she wasn't any good.
That was the father's opinion of his own daughter. Mm-hmm.
Now, my problem is this. Shall I wait until he decides whether or not he wants a divorce or wants to come back? Or shall I seek a divorce?
I see. In other words, he is, at this particular point in your life, he isn't living with you anymore, huh? Has your husband demanded a divorce, or does he still feel, as he did some time ago, that divorce was a relatively unimportant matter and that he would prefer to remain with you and the child? Now, what's his attitude at this moment?
He's asked me to leave him alone until he can decide one way or another.
I see. And you'd like me to tell you whether or not I believe you ought to give him that time or whether or not you ought to get a divorce, huh?
Yes.
How old are you?
21.
How old is your husband?
23.
Well, I am not going to recommend a divorce. However, I am not going to recommend that you live with him either. You see, you didn't marry a man of 21. You married a grown-up boy of 21. He is, he doesn't understand life. He doesn't know what marriage is. He only married you because very likely you threatened to cause some difficulties in his life. So it was the easiest thing for him to do, to marry you. He didn't think at that time that marriage carries with it social, economic, and other responsibilities. These responsibilities he has forgotten all about. Now, I don't think that he's going to awaken to them almost momentarily. He's not that kind of a man. Proof of that is his mode of living since he's married you. He became involved with another young woman. He does want a divorce. He doesn't want a divorce. He does want to live with you. He doesn't want to live with you. He's shuffled you between homes as though you were a chattel rather than a wife. I did say, though, that I don't recommend a divorce. I recommend you living apart from this man and having him support you and your child until such time as he has become sufficiently mature to know what a home is, what a wife is, and what a child is. Go ahead.
Well, he has been sending me $5 a week for the baby. I mean, I haven't taken him to court or anything like that because his mother didn't want me to. She felt that I really did mean something to him and that he would come back eventually.
Mm-hmm. Well, wait until that time comes about. And when this prize package that you married, I am not attempting to be sarcastic at all, but this man has an exaggerated opinion of his own value and his own worth, believe me. Not only that, but all the women in his life, including his wife. Of course, his mother, too, have an exaggerated idea of this man's value. It's untrue. There are other men, far more important men than this boy that you married. You stay away from him, and when he does finally make up his mind that he wants to come back to you, be very, very careful about taking him back. Make certain that he knows what marriage is. Make certain that he knows the responsibilities entailed in that marriage. And make sure that the love you think you now have for him still is in your heart. Go on.
There's another question. You see, my mother-in-law wants to see the baby, and I have been bringing the baby to her weekends, but every time I go, he's been there, and we've ended up in an argument. So I don't know whether to continue bringing the baby to her or...
Yes, I think you ought to bring the child to your in-law's home. As a matter of fact, if the quarrels between you and your husband when you live there become too severe, have your in-laws come to visit you if they want to see the child. Certainly, I would not deny the grandparents the right to see the child. I don't think that concerns your husband. I think it's only a human action on your part. I would do it if I were you. But don't take him back until you're certain that he's the kind of a man you had hoped he would be when you married him. Good luck to you. Friends, I'll take up the next problem in just a moment. But now I want you to listen closely to a problem that concerns all of us.
You know, friends, some women just don't...
Wait a minute, George. You're always going on about women and telling how they should use Arid and everything. How about men?
Well, how about them?
Well, I've heard of businessmen in offices who offend with the odor of underarm perspiration, and I've been near them in movies. After all, men are human, too. And you could very easily persuade them to get a jar of Arid if you tell them what an effective deodorant it is.
Right. Men, Arid is a snow-white, greaseless, and stainless antiseptic cream that safely helps stop underarm perspiration and odor. And Arid doesn't irritate the skin. It'll keep you from staining your shirt, and it'll keep you from offending others. More men and women use Arid than any other deodorant because it does its job so well. Arid is on sale at drugstores and department stores. And it's very inexpensive insurance for keeping clean and dry.
Very nice. So, men and women both, remember to use Arab cream deodorant daily. Buy the economical 39-cent jar. That's Arid, A-R-R-I-D.
And now, here is Mr. Anthony's next case.
Thank you, George. Friends, I have a letter that I'd like to read. It comes to me from Indiana, and it's signed Mrs. G.F. It says, I'm a widow and stay at home with my parents, who are both old. Father 70, mother 65. I also have a son overseas for the past 18 months who is married and has a 15-month-old baby. 8 months ago, my daughter-in-law came over to the house, and my mother tried to tell her what to do about the running of her business. They had words, and now my daughter-in-law no longer comes to the house. Someone wrote my son about this, and he's terribly hurt to think that they don't speak. I'm good to my parents, also good to my son's wife, and have done everything possible to smooth this over. But my mother and daughter-in-law are both stubborn, and as a result, I'm torn from side to side. My mother is old and thinks I should take her part. But I can't do that, as I want to be fair with both. And I feel that since my son is overseas, he expects me to stick to his little family. I'd like to have your advice, the writer continues, what you think is best for me to do. I want to do the right thing by both of them. Well, madam, a great many people have the same sort of difficulties on occasion. Your difficulties are heightened by the fact that your son happens to be overseas at the moment. I don't think that is a question of siding with either your mother or your daughter-in-law. As a matter of fact, I don't see why they should quarrel about these things. Your daughter-in-law doesn't live with your mother, and she's going to run her life as she sees fit, and very likely she's not going to take direction from her grandmother. Insofar as you're concerned, I think you ought to be pleasant to both your daughter-in-law and your mother. Now, why either one of these women, the old woman of 65 and the youngster, should demand that you take sides is something that I don't understand. I think you ought to be kind to both. That's the wisest way to do things, and let your daughter-in-law run her life in her own way and not have mother interfere. Good luck to all of you. Friends, I'd like to help all of you listeners as I try to help the people that come here to the studio and those that write to me from all over the country. If you have a personal problem and need understanding and sympathetic guidance, these daily sessions have been created to fulfill that need. I think that we've been successful in helping thousands find greater happiness. Why don't you sit down now and write to me? State your problem in full detail and address it to John J. Anthony in care of the station to which you are now listening. Don't hesitate. I shall keep your name a confidential secret and never reveal your identity. And now here's something you should know about.
Waiter! Waiter! Phil, did you ever see this poor service? I'm going to call a manager.
Take it easy, Walt. What's mostly wrong is your drought.
I'm sorry, Phil, but my digestion is so upset.
What you may need for your poor digestion is something that works after nature's own order. Try Carter's Little Liver Pill.
Good advice. When your digestion is upset and you feel headachy and irritable, take Carter's Little Liver Pill. You see, each day, nature normally produces about 2 pints of a vital digestive juice to help digest your food. If nature fails, your food may remain undigested, leaving you headachy and irritable. To feel cheerful and happy again, take Carter's Little Liver Pill. They increase the flow of this vital digestive juice quickly, often in as little as 30 minutes, and you're on the road to feeling better. Don't depend on artificial aids to counteract indigestion when Carter's Little Liver Pills aid digestion after nature's own order. Take Carter's Little Liver Pills as directed. Get them at any drugstore, only 25 cents. Join us tomorrow at this same time when we again present John J. Anthony, one of America's best-known counselors on human relations. George Putnam speaking.